You want to be the one who answers the questions? They're just yes or no.
Oh, my God. Yes. Sure. Oh, Pat just told me I had to say yes.
And so you do exactly you do exactly what Pat says.
No, I'll just do what I want. Sure, I'll answer the questions. I always do what I want.
So, here's a little background before we get started. One is, I suppose everybody knows that Angela's over in Thailand in some healing center of or rest home, one or the other. I don't know. And she's doing her thing. When I started putting Forever Living together, the idea was, as I said to Jim Webb here a week or so ago, not to deal with your present life, because I guess that's for you to deal with, but to then deal with, okay, so what's next? The other thing was to not in any of this tell you what to do or how to do it or anything of that nature. That's all them philosopher guys. But to give you the tools so you could live the self and life you desired, or at least know when you aren't doing that. So here's Angela over there talking about eternal self to these people. But it doesn't seem to solve their problems. They're only interested in their problems today. If they got a sickness, an illness, a problem, a difficulty, cure me, fix me up. Well, if you listen into the past, if you read as much as I've read, then you'd know that Krishna and Buddha and Jesus and all them big guys, Muhammad, all them big guys, even the Dalai Lama today, they tell you what to do. It's kind of like going to a doctor and a doctor gives you a prescription or says you need surgery. Would you take the prescription or go for surgery if the doctor didn't tell you what's wrong? Well, all these guys, Buddha and all these other guys, have some kind of prescription of what you're supposed to do, but none of them have any explanation of what is wrong. But they think they have a one-size-fits-all answers for everything. But I think we gotta surmise then that whatever my problems are, they sure as hell are different than Karen's, and Karen's are different than Andrew's, and Andrew's is different than Pat. And there is not going to be one size fits all. Is everybody still there?
Yep. Sure am.
The Dalai Lama solves a problem, says, be loving and compassionate. That isn't necessarily going to solve my problem. So what the hell is going on? Anyway, so I had this long conversation with Angela on Saturday, a couple hours. How does she deal with patients that are there because they have a problem and they want it fixed? And yet at the same time then deal with them in a way beyond just, well, symptom relief. So what I'm about to do tonight is tell you what I told her. She needed a pattern or a way to talk to them about their life today so that they could understand what is going on. Now I suppose, and everything I'm going to say, I have said before. Well, I'm going to put it together in one woven pattern and see how you understand it or not. The point of it is, in all of this, is you have your pains, problems, and illnesses. Why? Well, if you listen to some people, they say it's because of your fall from grace, or it's not your oneness with God, or it's because of the original sin of Adam. How does any of that help you in any pain, problem, and difficulty you have today? I don't think it does. So my question is, then, what good is a healer, and how can the healer relate the illness to a person's body and relate the body to the individual or the self, so that the patient can understand, or in your case, so you can understand what the hell is going on? So this is what I said to Angela, essentially. You were transfigured to life. Oh, by the way, I'll answer any questions as long as it is directly a part of what we're saying at the moment. I don't want to go astray from this outline or pattern that I'm trying to portray, so that you can get a feel or a sense of the pattern. You would say, oh, you were born. I say you were transfigured to life. Is that okay with you, Karen?
What's the difference?
The transfigured only means a change of condition, appearance, or state. Whereas born seems to indicate a beginning. And I'm saying that you were transfigured to life, you were not begun at birth. Okay?
Okay, yeah.
Are you willing to accept that in that, then you have a body, but you are not your body?
Yeah.
We can say then that your body is a loner from your parents. That your parents made your body and loaned it to you. Is that okay?
Yep, that's good.
Well, that means then that your parents are your body's parents, and they are not your parents. Of course, that means then that your family is your body's family, and not necessarily your family.
And that means that when we're talking about you or me, we're talking about more than this body.
Correct.
We're talking about the else, other.
Okay, but here is a point. Other, what other? Religion says, oh, well, you're a spirit. It's the spirit of your body, your everlasting spirit. Well, you know, it doesn't solve any kind of problems. So let's just say, when I say you, I mean the you that was transfigured to life, entered a body that was offered, and that today you have a loner body. But that body belongs to your parents, not to you. You get to use it, but they own it. Is that okay?
Yeah, I don't know the... Yeah, okay, I don't think they want it, but anyway.
Well, if they owned it, they made it, that's theirs. Why do you say they don't own it?
Oh, no, I said they don't, they probably don't want it.
Oh, they don't want your body? Well, it belongs to them. Even, is it possible that you don't want your body? See, your body came with a DNA code of its ancestors. But those ancestors are not your ancestors. Is that okay?
Following the what we've been saying, yeah, that follows, that makes sense.
But why are you saying, limiting it to following what you say?
Yeah, I just, I guess I'm going beyond what you've been talking about so far.
What does that mean?
Back to other stuff.
What do you mean you're going beyond?
Well, that we, I would have thought that the ancestors of my body are my ancestors.
If we're able to say then that the ancestor, that your body was made by your parents, not by you, then the ancestors of your body have a greater relationship to your parents than to you at all.
I can agree with that, yeah, that they have a greater relationship to my parents, but I wouldn't say that they have no relationship to me, because by, I've touched my parents, so they, therefore I've touched everything that they've touched.
Is it possible that that's not true, number one, and number two is, let's proceed from the moment saying those ancestors of your body are not your ancestors. Is that okay?
Okay. Let's proceed that way.
Okay. So what are you supposed to do with this body? Do you understand then that as the cells of your body die and are replaced, they say that approximately every 7 years you have replaced every cell of your body entirely, such that, well, your body is a different body, but it's really not. And the reason it's not is each cell that is replaced is fused with memories of the original body and takes on the same, essentially, the same appearance as before. So, is it possible for us to say then that, or for you to understand that, if you were transfigured to life and had no body, you couldn't be transfigured to life? Such then that your body gives you a start in life which you otherwise would not have. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it okay then to say, well, maybe what you should do is make your body yours? Really portray you such that when the cells die and you replace the cells by memory Y instead of memories S, that even if you have a similar appearance in your body, that body is you, not any longer your parents. Is that okay?
Okay, yeah.
And that it is okay for you to change your body so that it represents or portrays you, whatever the you is that we're talking about so far, all right?
I'm customizing it.
Well, you're even doing, you're doing actually more than that. You are rebuilding it.
Okay. Yeah.
And in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a mail out and a presentation on stem cells and stem cells about rebuilding your body such that it portrays you and does not portray necessarily your parents. So, the DNA code of your body is the DNA code of your parents, not you.
Yes.
So, if you then rebuild, we could say, if you know enough about your DNA in that regard, your genes, then the DNA could be the very same, yet you turn some genes on and some genes off. So the DNA is exactly the same, but the pattern of what is active and what is not active is entirely you. Is that okay?
Yes.
So you could change your body in the first 7 years entirely and look exactly the same, but it isn't you. It isn't the you that you thought you were. It is the real, let's call it the real you, portrays the real you.
The real me being the bigger me?
Well, or the something you. We haven't gotten there yet, but maybe we can get there, huh?
Okay, okay.
One of the problems is that bonding to family, you know, they always show the cute little pictures of the baby bonding to mother and etc. Bonding to family probably led you to bond to your body. And of course, if
I can see that.
And if you bond to your body, then you take on and operate this body, this loner body, as though it was yours, and in that then the universe is happy because it makes more bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, along with your body then, which was a loner, and its DNA code of your ancestors, you received a loner self, S-E-L-F, that came along with the body. In other words, the self is a outward portrayal of the body and its actions and the way it is.
Okay.
And this loner self, it came with an ego code of your, of the body's ancestor selves. Okay?
Okay.
You sound doubtful about that.
No, that's kind of neat. I mean, it's, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking back to giving people our declared selves when we don't know what theirs is.
From the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you are not your body, say at the beginning, you are not yourself either. Both the body and the self are loners, and they portray your parents, not you.
Yep.
But a lot of people listening in probably don't believe any of this. But you do believe that you function your body, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, how do you do that? For instance, how do you raise your arm? Raise your arm sitting there and tell me how you did that.
I formed an image of raising my arm. And my arm raised.
What if that's not true?
Well, okay, what if?
Okay. Let's divert for just a minute. Newton said, Sir Isaac, that is, third law of motion, said that for every action, there is a simultaneous, equal, and opposite reaction. Okay?
Yeah.
Are you then willing to agree with me that the universe only reacts and cannot action? In other words, the universe doesn't have intention, can't initiate an action. Everything that you see in the universe itself is merely a reaction of a reaction of a reaction of a reaction. Is that okay?
Okay, yeah.
And do you understand that you command the universe by actioning?
Okay, yeah.
In other words, any action that you perform, the universe reacts to that. And so, any action that you create, you command the universe to reaction.
Okay, yeah.
When we've said before then that the universe always accommodates you, well, let's look at this a little closer in this regard. It's not only accommodating you, you are commanding the universe.
But a little bit more active than just it accommodating me.
That's right.
Yeah.
But it isn't like Sir Isaac Newton said, it isn't backing away from you like an action reaction. It isn't backing away from you to allow you to do something. It is reacting to you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so far?
Okay, yeah.
Is it too much to ask you to understand that a reaction is not something that is different or other or a reversal or an opposite to what you are doing?
No, that's not too much to ask. It's more like a, it's almost like a dance.
Almost like a what? I didn't hear what you said.
People dancing.
Oh, okay.
A dance.
But even in a dance, though, if you move forward, the partner moves backwards. What if it's more than that? Get action and opposite reaction out of your head for a minute. See, that's where Sir Isaac Newton's head was, but I want you to get your head out of just reacting to allow you, as in a dance, to move forward by the universe or something around you backing up. Or must you insist on a dance, an action reaction, a forward and reversal to accommodate you?
I don't know. I guess I wasn't really thinking about forward and reverse. I was just thinking about two bodies working together in the same purpose. So, like the music, the harmony, or the beat, or the whatever of the music, is what they're doing. They're doing this dance together.
Wait! We got to stop here a minute ago. If you have two dancers, you have two people who can action. If you have you in the universe, the universe cannot action.
Okay. All right. It can only react.
It can only react, so it's never quite like two dancers. It's never quite like any of this. In other words, you can't tell the universe what to do, and it does it. It doesn't read your mind. It doesn't give a damn. It doesn't speak your language. It only reacts to your actions. If you don't act, it doesn't act. Or however you do act, it acts to that, regardless of what you think you're doing.
Right. Okay. Yep, yep.
Are you willing to say then that, for instance, if I dig a hole in the garden out here, the universe has reacted and shown me a hole with dirt all around the ground. And can we not say that the Earth's reaction is merely a transfiguration of my original action?
Transfiguration.
It's a change of state, a change of appearance, a state, a change of condition. So as I dig the hole, the universe changes the condition, and I can look at hole and dirt all around and say that is a direct transfiguration of the actions that I performed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So then that the reaction of the universe is really a transfiguration of your actions, so that you can look at the hole that's there and the dirt and say, that's what I did. So it is only portraying your actions.
Okay, yeah.
So no matter what I think I was doing, what I have in front of me, the universe shows me this is what I was doing. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yep.
So, in that way then, every time I act, the universe reacts. I cannot, in that regard, say, universe, I want you to do this. The universe doesn't believe me, and sure as hell doesn't listen, and doesn't speak my language. So I can't tell the universe to do anything and have the universe do it.
Yeah.
If I don't action, it don't react.
Don't happen. Yeah. Okay. I get it.
Well, can we now go back to you and say your body is part of the universe? And it too can only react. So I guess the question is, how do you raise your arm? You can't think, and everybody, like I was reading a book the other day, it says you function your body through the mind. It doesn't work. It can't do that. You can't tell your body to do something and it does it. Your body cannot action, it can only react. So how do you raise your arm?
God, I don't know.
Well, nobody seems to even take these very simple little questions into account. So let me ask you this. Is it possible that you, remember now, yourself is a loner self, just like your body, and so then yourself is not you? That you think yourself to action so your body can react to that self.
I think myself.
Hey Ron, could you break that down? Or is it possible to break that down?
If I knew what the hell you were talking about, I guess I could, but I don't know what you're talking about. How do I break that down?
Okay, you think yourself to action. I'm a little vague on that. I mean, I can think myself. I can imagine myself actioning and
wait a minute. Whoa, wait, Andrew. Will you do me a favor?
Of course.
Okay? Pay attention. I said before that yourself is not you. It's a loner self.
All right.
So then yourself is not you. You are imagining yourself and calling yourself you.
Okay.
Don't do that.
I see what you're saying. I still have the... Okay, so I didn't say it quite...
All right, let me put it this way. Let me put it this way.
Yeah?
Could you think and tell me to go in and hit Misty?
Could I think and tell you to go in and hit Misty?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I can think.
In other words, you can't hit Misty from there.
Correct.
But you could tell me to go in and hit Misty.
Yep.
So then, in that regard, then, you are you, and I am yourself. And in this regard, I go in and hit Misty, which is the same as what we're talking about. Talking about is raise your arm.
Yeah.
We got to have three entities here: your body, yourself, and you. You are not your body. Are you willing to indicate then that you are not yourself?
Yeah, Roger. I'm gonna make a statement you're not gonna like though.
Well, you make the statement. It might be rather foolish.
Adding a self between me and my body still doesn't answer the question of how I do that.
I just told you.
So I tell myself, and then myself, without argument, goes and does what I tell it to do.
Let's assume that's the case.
So just some communication, and then this self follows my communication.
Let's assume that's the case. But what if that self doesn't follow your communication?
Right, that's my question.
But you didn't ask that.
We're getting there.
Is it possible then that the self does not follow your communication, your direction?
I really do think that's possible, yes.
Is that okay with you, Karen?
Yeah, because it would only react to an action. A communication isn't an action.
Well, what makes it not respond to you? Can you tell me that?
What makes it not respond?
Oh,
yeah.
Memory.
Somebody said something.
Memory.
What's that got to do with anything? Stay only with what we're talking about. Don't introduce new stuff here. What makes yourself not respond as you want it to respond?
Me not actioning.
No, you told yourself the self doesn't action according to it doesn't, maybe it doesn't obey you. Then what? Why would that be?
Well, I just keep going back to that. Myself is a piece of the universe. The universe can only react to action. It's not going to respond to words.
Is your body yours?
No, my parents.
Is yourself yours?
Oh, no. I'm starting to think that I started out with this loner self, and then as I live with it, I make it more mind.
So, if you haven't, if you have bonded to your loner self in the same way that you bonded to your loner body, then yourself is not you. It doesn't portray you. It doesn't necessarily obey you. It may not even speak the same language as you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, if in the you okay with this, Andrew?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's my following concern right now. And I am at a loss as to how to connect that apparent disconnection.
It is not a disconnection.
Okay, but it's not me. Why is it not a disconnection? What is it?
Because you're still connected to that self. The only problem is that self doesn't portray you. If your body was truly yours, had you changed it to make it you and yours, and to really portray you, and had you done the same thing with the loner self that you started out with, then there would be a clear communication between you through self to body, and the arm would raise.
Oh, no, that's interesting.
Huh?
So because it's not like me, it doesn't do like me. Is that what you're saying?
Thank you kindly. Because you haven't made it other than you've adopted yourself, which was a loner, and you've been living a loner self and life from the get-go. Is that possible?
I believe it is.
Can we say then, back to you, Karen, that if you have bonded to your loner body and self and not made them as you to portray you clearly and accurately, you are living as a stranger in your own life?
Yeah, kind of living a borrowed life.
And every time you fool around with Patrick, it's a menage a trois.
I think it's more than that.
But okay, so the question is, have you ever felt that you weren't you? That there was some disconnect going on? That your life and body and self didn't respond the way you wanted? Maybe even your body wasn't even speaking the same language?
Yep.
Did you hear that? I'm sorry.
No, I didn't hear it.
Especially when I was pregnant. It was like I was inhabiting this something that was doing its own thing. Anyway.
So you're living as a stranger or with a stranger in your own life. Mm-hmm. Is that possible?
Yeah. That explains a lot, actually.
Are you living possibly beliefs, thoughts, actions, desires, and experiences that aren't even yours?
Yeah. Apparently.
That is the loner self and all of the, not all, but those things anyway that are not yours. How come on the one hand you believe one thing and yet you don't really believe you believe that? How come you have desires you wonder about?
Yeah.
Why have you experiences that you seriously question? That wasn't me. I didn't do that. Maybe you didn't.
Or why did I do that?
Or why did you do that? Maybe the why did you do that and the problems and illnesses or difficulties is because it wasn't you.
Yeah.
Well, if we consider that, are you willing to consider that if you are living the talents and skills that are natural to you in your body, to yourself and body, that those talents and skills may not be yours? Could you have a natural talent? Maybe that explains Pavarotti. He wanted to be a soccer player, but he had his body had a natural talent for singing, and so he followed those talents and skills to his own self-destruction because that weren't him. If you follow your heart's desire, could it be that it wasn't your heart's desire in the first place?
Ha! Your parents' heart's desire.
Ah! Or at least the self and ancestors of your loner body. If any of these questions come up, we always question ourselves, and we haven't really got a view or an image or a picture of the loner self and body. Nobody's ever brought that up before that I know of, that you could say, son of a gun, no wonder that's going on. And so when we say to you, why don't you live what you truly desire, maybe it doesn't mean you have to necessarily give everything up, but maybe you have to quit living with a stranger in your life.
Right. But I'm so habitual to being the stranger.
And you have struggled against that self or stranger, even if it's talents and skills. Well, wait a minute. It's also attitudes and emotions, isn't it?
Yep.
Have you ever thought that those attitudes of your body and those emotions are not yours?
So, Roger, I have a question. So, and you may yell at me, call it changing the subject, but I don't think it really is. So, loner self, loner body are not really your attitudes, yada, yada, yada. But what about when you're dreaming? Are you not subject? Is that more your real true self, if you will?
Well, I'll say yes, but I don't want to get into a long discussion of that. So, yes. So, on the one hand, you are living your loner self, but when you do that, your dreams are really showing you what you are doing. Maybe then when you say, that's weird, but it's really showing what you are doing. Maybe that's not what you want to do. So the drama and the past, when I say past, we're talking memories.
Right.
Of your loner body and self, they're not yours either.
Right.
Is it possible then that you could create memory Y and memories S, however you wanted, and live those?
Yeah.
And in all of this stuff, if your loner and body are not yours, your talents are not yours, your skills and attitudes and emotions are not yours, your drama is not yours, and your experiences not yours, you're acting as a stranger in your own body and life. That considered, is it any wonder that you have pains, problems, and afflictions?
And Roger, I think that other—that just the idea too of always—I've always sensed I was a stranger in a strange land. That's how I felt all my life. So I don't know if that's something with that concept.
Of course it is, and that's why I'm saying is your problem is that you have bonded to your loner body and self, and have not made your body and yourself portray the real you, or portray who you really are.
Yeah.
If you've done that, is it possible to see then how this continuous struggle results in the pains, problems, and afflictions of both your body and self? Can you see then how, in a sense, that we're saying here that the stranger is in control, not you?
Yeah.
Well, we've come this far, and what we've said is if you raise your arm, then that you can think yourself acts and your body reacts. Does that not mean that you are more or other or different than your body and also different than yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
You still with me here, Karen?
Yep, I am. I was, just going even further with Sally's thought of a stranger in a strange land. And there's lots of people who...
That's right.
Just their body is their almost their enemy.
That's right. And they don't realize is they look at their body, but... if they haven't changed their body, the likelihood is they haven't transfigured their self either, so that their self and everything they're, just about everything in they're doing in life is their enemy.
Yeah. No wonder there's this battle with cancer and disease.
My question to you is it possible that with this image in this regard, that the pains, problems, and afflictions make sense as to why they're occurring, what the struggle might be?
Yeah, well, it's clear that there's a struggle.
But the point of it is, if you don't see this pattern, if you only see yourself as a spiritual being in a physical body, that is you, you don't have a real expanded image of yourself in life to be able to really, really, really get down and relate to the pains, problems, and afflictions in your life. If you look at my example of saying then that the whole and the dirt around the whole is a transfiguration of my actions, it is not a result, not a consequence, not a reaction per se, but is a clear transfiguration of my action. Is it possible to say that all pains, problems, and afflictions are clear transfigurations of your actions?
Oh, yeah, that's very true.
And is it also possible then that there is a, let's call it, a distortion rather than a disconnect? There is a distortion between you and yourself. If the self is not a clear portrayal of you, then it is a distortion of what you desire.
So are you saying then that in the reaction, my body, even though I'd say it's not doing what I desire, you could unravel the distortion and trace it back to show what, to reveal what I truly desire?
No, well, maybe yes, maybe no in that regard, but at least we could get to see the self that you are living.
Right.
And I could then ask you, or from that, then we could discover whether that self you are living is what you truly desire to be and be living.
Mm-hmm.
We okay?
Yeah, we're good.
Is it possible in all of this image or picture that we can look at and understand you or the distortion and or the body that is not really you, and that we can look at all of that and clearly understand what's going on without any judgments?
Yeah.
So we now have a way and a pattern to know what's going on, but there's never any judgments we have to enter into this as to what is right or wrong. It merely begins to declare what you are living, and if I can say what you are actioning in your life, I can then ask you, is that what you truly desire to action?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, then can we not say then the likelihood is that the self, we know the body is not you, that the self you've been living with all of your life is not a good portrayal of you either?
Right, yep, I see that.
So therefore we can say then, probably without too much contradiction, that in not transfiguring your loner body and self to correctly portray you, that not doing is the source of your pains, problems, and afflictions.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of falling from grace or original sin or not oneness with God. You are, in a sense, living as a stranger in a strange land.
Yep.
All right. Is it reasonable to say that if your body and self accurately portray you, you've rebuilt your body so that it's no longer your parents' loner body, and you rebuilt yourself so that it's no longer a loner self?
Yeah.
That when it accurately portrays you and correctly actions as you command, that those actions command the universe as you truly desire. Are you not there? Did everybody go offline? We're off. Then those actions command the universe as you truly desire.
Absolutely.
So it isn't a matter of then calling or manifesting things to you.
Yeah.
It is transfiguring your body and self to portray you and then directly live as you truly desire. Is that okay?
Yep.
So that we can then we could say that if events around you are not as you truly desire, they are those events only reacting to what you're doing, not to what you think you are doing, then that what you think you are doing, your loner self is distorting in some way or another, such that the events are reacting to actions you didn't mean to do.
Right.
But the self engaged it.
The self engaged it. That stranger in your life engaged it. Who's got all the squeakies going on?
That's all our strangers, all fighting to get back in our bodies. I don't know what that is.
Oh.
So we can say if you are still living your loner body and life, many of your desires and commands are distorted, and frequently then they action against you.
Yeah.
I guess we have sort of a final question here. Does your computer, your fancy phone, and your access to the internet address or ease any of these issues? I can't hear what anybody is saying.
Well, it's a no-brainer.
Now it's interesting, and I just thought, I don't know why that's interesting, because I wouldn't think that it does ease any of these problems. It distracts you.
But the point of it is, if you have made your body and yourself accurately portray you in that regard, then the electronic world is of non-issue to you.
True. That's right.
Well, okay.
I'm not sure why you asked that question, Roger, and I'm not sure why you said it was a non-issue.
I said it is because we have a generation or two here that think the electronics and data and information and all they can get off the web and their Facebook and everything
right.
else it is so marvelously and wondrously changing life. But what I'm saying is it possible
it really
that no matter what it does, this underlying pattern still remains?
Right, I agree. I agree. Now that you've that clarified it for me, yes.
And so the electronics aren't going to help you in any way if this pattern is continued. Ain't going to help you at all. And I think that there are a whole lot of people who think then that, well, I have this magic gadget in my hand. Why isn't it solving my problem?
Well, it's like also like a magic diet pill or a magic something else. It doesn't matter what form it takes. It isn't getting you to living, to truly desiring living, well, whatever that is, transfiguring directly self, loner self, body self, or body.
So, Angela said, well, okay, fine. Now what the hell do I do? And what do I do with my client? Well, okay, there you are. Let's assume that that's the case, and you all have felt this way, so that the likelihood is 110% that you are living a stranger in your own life. What can you do about that, and how can you solve or resolve that problem, and what might be involved?
Hey, whoever's got the Cokie frogs in the background, your mic is open.
Yo, I thought that was you guys.
Okay.
Probably Hawaiian tail.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, trying to mute it. Hang on.
Do I have any idea what's going on?
I'm lost, but you did ask a question before all of that.
My question is, okay, let's assume you follow that pattern, and now you're 30, 40, 50, 60, or 80 years in your life. What the hell can you do about it? And as Angela said, and how long is it going to take?
Well, it seems to me that it's about making myself myself rather than my parents' self.
Okay. In other words, you transfigure your body to be yours, and you transfigure yourself to be you in that regard, rather than continuing the struggle of living your parents' loner body and self.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Well, okay, then. How might you go about doing that?
Yeah, go ahead. Your answer will be better than mine anyway.
Yeah, but probably they won't believe mine. I was going to read something. I'm going to read something that gets a little bit complicated. Is there anybody on here other than Karen and I?
No, Andrew and I are on.
Okay, I just wondered. So,
yeah.
Listen carefully. A problem in your body and life today, no matter what that problem may be, is a transfiguration of yourself and life, which is a transfiguration of your beliefs, which are the source of your thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions, and your desires and experiences. Therefore, no matter what your problem may be, do not seek within for answers or for realization or for relief or solutions. Begin looking all around and visualizing and understanding yourself and life today from a very different perspective than you normally apply. For except in emergencies, it's foolish to attempt to resolve problems without understanding their true source and nature. Can you understand that from this pattern that the true source and nature of your problems and difficulties and illnesses may well be then your been living all your life, your loner self and body that is not you?
Oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And then could you not transfigure yourself as you truly desire? What you do is you seem to, because of memories like continuing your loner body, you continue your beliefs and memories and experiences, but they weren't yours. So the question is, why do you continue those experiences? Why do you not create the provenance or the experiences or the whole every aspect of yourself that you truly desire and be that and live that? This sounds like Simone.
I'm trying to find an answer to your why don't you, and I think, I guess, because I didn't know I could.
Yeah.
But could you not then apply this understanding then, and this is true, you probably didn't understand that, apply this understanding in your life or to your patients in such a way that they can begin understanding the stranger they have been living all their lives?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was my conversation with Angela. If we then talk about an eternal self, is it possible then that the eternal self is the self you truly want to portray you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it possible then that in creating your eternal self that the way you want in that regard, that you're cleaning house of your loner self?
Yeah.
By not even considering you're creating the eternal self that you truly desire, you are stuck with continuing with this stranger. Well, I guess then, if we look at that, is it possible for us to say then that the you, which up to now we know then is not yourself, is not your body, is not your eternal self or personal self, it is a universal you?
Mm-hmm.
If I say to you, as religion has done, you're a spiritual being, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
But if I talk to you in terms of the you that we've been talking about all night is a universal being struggling with properly portraying himself through self and body, does this not make sense?
Yes, it does make sense.
And struggling against the self and body makes sense as to what the body is portraying then in that illness about yourself.
Yeah. So it reveals all.
But it reveals this only because you now have a pattern, an underlying pattern of yourself as an eternal being, creating then and living the self you truly desire in the body you truly desire, and in that then in a life you truly desire. Is that okay?
Yeah.
It isn't a matter of, because my problem with Angela was speaking in superlatives. In all of this that I haven't mentioned a superlative, a good, better, best, a right, this is an appropriate, that's not appropriate. There are no judgments and no superlatives in this. Well, okay, if that's the case, since everybody's really all just jazzed up about that, I guess we'll quit right there.
Well, it's not a matter of not being jazzed up. It's got yet another level of depth for us to think about this stuff.
But the point of it is, I originally wanted to get into, like with Angela, talking about eternal self, illuminated being, talking about you as a universal being. But everybody that she's dealing with really only wants to be relieved of their present symptoms. So then we had to get in and discuss, why might that be? Why are these problems? Why is life seem to be so screwed up? And why is it? What?
Like the fight with the body, the fight with if it's not me fighting with my health, it'll be me fighting with the way I see the world and the way everybody else reacts to me, and why do they think those things about me? Well, of course, because I can't see how they see me, because they don't even see the me that I think I am.
So you're living a false sense of yourself.
Yeah.
But then the question is, you've always felt that the body and self that you were living portrayed you. Now all of a sudden we say, wait a minute, maybe the problem is it doesn't portray you at all.
Yeah. So all that effort gone into defending this body, this self, this self-esteem, all that stuff, it's all almost for a stranger.
And?
It's kind of interesting.
Living your talents, which seems so easy or right, may be the worst thing you can do. Because they ain't yours. That's that. Even if you succeed with those talents, in the end, it isn't you. So it gives you no sense of success at all.
Okay, so even the kid that's born a virtuoso and is, doing amazing music at 4 years old, That's the history of his body and his DNA.
And not his. You could take it on and be that and live that and be okay with that, but maybe not. Maybe you maybe you live that and you do everything because you got that talent, and somewhere along the line you say, what the hell is all of this about?
Uh-huh.
Because yeah. It wasn't really you. You thought it was you.
Right.
Okay, well.
But the only way to figure that out is by doing it.
By what?
You might not figure it out.
Maybe doing it is a big mistake, because then you fill it with experiences and memories and all of that kind of stuff, so that you really, really, really think that that's you.
You reinforce it, but then, if the whole point is to truly live me, the real me, let's say, yeah, that would be a mistake.
But the you then is that the aspects of your body and the self are probably not you.
Right. Yeah. So then the whole all of this is to create ourselves and make our bodies our own. So yes. My body will conform to the true me, let's say the true me, or the innate nature of me.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, Roger, I'm going to just jump in. So, given this loner self and loner body, that's also applicable for past life. You're a different body, a different race, a different whatever. So it still can be the same kind of struggles or afflictions or stranger to strange land in that respect as well.
That's right. Because the likelihood is then that those past lives are your body's past lives, not yours. Or your
right.
body's
right.
previous self, not yours.
Right.
All I've said with self-replicating particles is that you create particles to create yourself. So, you can use your body and the DNA information, and you can use your loner self and your ego information of loner self as information to help create you the way you want to be. Is that okay?
Is it not possible though then that even in past life, loner self, loner body, that you could have actually transfigured living as you truly desire in another, I'll say, life, past life, and have memory and able to access that now?
Well, let me put it this way.
Okay.
Is it possible that the, let's call it the bigger, greater, grander you, is the bigger, greater, grander you living the self, or is the self creating the greater, grander you?
I think door number two. I think the self is creating the greater, grander you, if that's the way we want to say it.
Okay.
You hear that? Okay.
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah, okay. Well, that turns your, if I understand your question there, Sally, that turns your question on itself.
in what way?
Are you living the past lives, or the past lives living you? Are you living yourself, or is your loner self living you?
Yeah, okay, I see.
Wow, that's
interesting. Yeah.
So, Raj, it's like the loner self living you. Is that sort of like a survival thing that keeps you going for a while, gets you started or something?
But it's only just to get you started so that we have something or a way to transfigure you to life. And it gives you something to transfigure to. Now, create the self and life from that you truly desire. Well, we don't do that. We bond with parents and we bond with the loner self and life. And what we've done now is to say, oh, yeah, but that was your past lives. Maybe it wasn't your past lives. Maybe it was generally a loner self.
Oh, I see. But what? So those loner past lives, could they, like, in the same way then, could they get you started on then deciding your past lives?
But
they give you inference or the idea.
They give you a start. But for you then, because you are different in the universe than most of the universe, you can action, the rest of the universe cannot.
Okay.
But then...
So does my starter bot... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Just curious if my starter body shows what I had actioned up to this point in time.
No, it doesn't show you anything about you.
Okay.
It's your parents. And don't, what we've excused before is saying, oh, well, you chose your parents. No, you didn't too.
Yeah, well, we used to say that how I'm living now is creating my body and my next life. That was a forever livingism when I got into it, or something.
All right, let's assume that's the case. Is it creating, but that doesn't mean that's the loner body. It's creating for you to be able to build the body from the loner that you truly desire.
Okay, I need that just one more time, because
I said you're creating your body in the next lifetime in that regard, then... It doesn't mean that you are creating your loner body. It's giving you the information to create from your loner body to mold or create the body and self you truly desire.
Oh, now I got you. Okay, interesting.
You got to have something to work with. It's kind of like the potter has clay to work with. And so your loner body, in that regard, is like the clay for you to work with. And the loner self is the self clay for you to work with. And if you default in all of that, that's fine. The universe says, well, we've made more bodies, we've made more selves, you can evolve and do your thing. I'm okay with that. The universe is happy. Or you can create your body and self as you truly desire and jumpstart yourself. Do you understand then in all of this that you can live over and over and over and over and over again 30 dozen times, and each time continue living your starter body and starter self, or loner body and loner self, and hey, that'd be okay. Or you can choose to be and modify or transfigure your body and self as you truly desire and be able to live that as a continuing thing? You can live 2 plus 3 equals 5, or 5 equals everything.
Right. Right.
Okay, well... What?
Can you just draw the theater in the round into this? So I'm on the stage looking out into the audience and the lights are up and it's all me out there.
Let's assume that's the case. But does that startle you or real you? Are you play acting? Or are you like Shakespeare says, just strutting your moment upon the stage? Or are you truly performing? Is it truly you out there, or is this just a performance?
Well, if it's, let's say it's the loner me and the loner body up there on the stage, I think I'm all by myself, doesn't feel right, then the lights come up and I look out there and I see all of me out there.
All right.
But that includes the past lives, and it includes my DNA ancestors, and it includes everything else too, anything that I've come in contact with.
But the point of all of this is you can transfigure a body, but what it, maybe you can't make one.
Okay, yeah.
In other words, if you make one in the normal way, then it isn't you. Is it possible for you as early as possible in life to transfigure the starter body and self that you have to be as you truly desire? When we got down the line and I said, why don't you do that, what did you say that was the reason that you continued living your body, your loner body and self?
What was the reason?
Yeah, you said the reason was that you kept doing that is because you didn't know you could do otherwise.
Yeah.
Is it possible for you to know you can do otherwise so that you can take any starter body at any time, like being born again, either in this lifetime or in any lifetime, and use that starter body to transfigure it to portray you and the self to portray you?
Yeah, that's possible.
When you look at somebody and you say, oh, that's just ego, is there any description other than you would say then that person is living or expressing an exaggerated sense of himself?
Yeah.
Isn't that a reasonable definition of ego?
An exaggerated sense of themselves?
Yeah, you know, they're too important, or
right.
And you would say that's just ego.
Right.
Is it?
I wouldn't say that, but I.
What would you call it?
An exaggerated sense of themselves.
Or self-importance, or self-involved.
Yeah.
What would you say then?
That's just what they're doing. I don't know. I don't get hung up on that word ego. I know it means a lot to some people, but to me, it's just their identity.
I don't disagree with that, but most people speak of ego as an exaggerated sense of your importance or self.
Okay, well, so if you're talking about most people, that's different. I thought you were talking about me and what I might say.
Well, no, I just switched to the you. If it doesn't apply to you, then most people, corporate you. Then is it not possible for you to see then that it is not an exaggerated sense of yourself, it is a true sense of yourself, you just don't know how to express that true sense of yourself.
Right.
And that true sense of yourself, as opposed to the loner sense of yourself.
Right. Good point.
Okay?
Yeah. Yep. Right.
Gonna hang up now.
Yep.
Wow, that's a good goodbye.
Well,
go
use that pattern and overlay your pains, problems, and difficulties in life, and you'll begin to see a clearer picture of yourself.
Yeah, don't hit Misty. Don't hit Misty.
He didn't tell me to. Besides, I'm a stranger in his life, and I don't do what he tells me.
All right. Thanks, Roger. Thanks, Karen.
Bye now.
Okay. Good night. Aloha.
Bye.
Good night.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you.